Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Tyler Lane and Randall Palfer join us from Chip Golf. And I wanted to have these guys on because, frankly, they reached out and kind of looked into their story a little bit of Chip Golf. I thought, hey, this is pretty cool. This is an opportunity to talk to a couple of guys who have started something in the golf business. And you guys have focused in on golf gloves specifically. So we talked a little bit about this beforehand, but how did you guys meet and how did you guys kind of come together on this project specifically?
Go for it, Tyler.
All right. So Randall and I met at University of Wisconsin-Madison. So both went to undergrad there. Met pretty quickly when we got to school and became friends super quick. All of undergrad, we just started brainstorming business ideas together. We knew we enjoyed that. We knew we liked being business partners. Our senior year of undergrad, we started another business together, shipping slices of birthday cake to kids at school. It was good to learn. Needless to say, we didn't keep doing that after we graduated. So that's how we've been starting to work together. And then during COVID, Randall came up with the idea for Chip Golf Co. And we kind of took the business from there.
So yeah, as Tyler mentioned, Chip Golf Co. kind of came about during COVID. It was the byproduct of kind of a brainstorming session of me and my now fiance of trying to create a product, which is something that I've always been interested in doing and also wanting to do it in an industry that we're passionate about. And so, you know, Tyler and I both play golf. It's something that we did in college. It's something we still do today. And the thing that was unique about COVID was everyone was struggling around the world, right? Like people were sick, people were dying, people weren't able to do the things that they loved. And one of the industries that really bloomed because of that was golf, because people were able to go outside, they were able to play. And so we were wondering, like, how do we leverage this idea of wanting to create a product in this industry that we really like, but also benefit kind of the world around us? And also kind of doing a deep dive in the golf industry, one of the things that I noticed was golf was really trending towards this idea of customization, right? You're seeing all these shirts that have this kind of flair on them, and golf courses, and I think the golf clientele in general are kind of transitioning less away from the preppy kind of country club and more to like the lifestyle, like anyone can play. And one of the pieces of apparel that is yet to kind of make that transformation was the golf glove. We couldn't go into a single store, a single pro shop and find any alternatives that weren't black or white. And they were all made by this, you know, these big manufacturers and all very bland and boring. So we said, hey, like there's got to be a way that we can add some flair to this. And also we obviously have the charitable component too, where we donate 10% of proceeds to various charitable causes that actually, funny enough, some of the designs are actually inspired by the charities that they support. But some of them are just designs that, you know, we've had a lot of fun designing and kind of paired up some charities with them. So it's one of those things where we get to have a lot of fun in designing these and seeing people use them. They've never seen something like this before. And when they actually get the feel for them and know that they're, you know, genuine Cabretta leather, a lot of the competitors out there use kind of a synthetic, or they use like a, you know, a felt that's not quite leather because it's easier to print. Ours are fully printed on Cabretta leather. So it feels just like, you know, your run of the mill, nice Titleist golf glove. And yet they've got these designs on them. So people really like them.
So did you guys have any background in the golf industry whatsoever? And how, from what was your starting point to, okay, here's what we've gotten, here's what we know to, okay, now we've got to find a supplier. We've got to find a design. We've got to find, you know, what are the things you had to go find out and learn just to get to a design before you even manufactured anything?
Yeah. So my background's actually in industrial engineering. And so my first job out of school, I was working in supply chain and manufacturing. And so I had a little bit of the knowledge of like the back end of how products go from idea to market. As far as the experience in the golf industry, I mean, I didn't even start playing golf until high school. And I think naturally, as you kind of phase out of high school sports, but you still want to maintain that competitive edge with your friends, golf is kind of the natural solution for a lot of people. So outside of really just playing, I have not worked in the golf realm at all. It's just an industry that I've been passionate about. And so the way that this initially started was, like you said, it was all about finding a supplier. So this was back in 2020. And so I'd been looking all over the internet, Alibaba, doing research, and finally ended up getting connected with a few different manufacturers, had to go through the whole sampling process. And that's a lot of back and forth. And every time you're doing it, it takes, you know, 2 weeks to ship over there, and it costs money. And usually the first couple of rounds of samples are not right. And so the entire sampling process of just finding a manufacturer that we liked working with and actually provided a glove that was high enough quality and could do what we were asking took well over a year. It wasn't until middle towards the end of 2021 that we were even starting the idea of like, hey, we could order some of these in designs and maybe try and sell them. We were just trying to get gloves from a manufacturer, period. So that was definitely an eventful period of time for sure.
Yeah. And then I'd add to that, once we got the gloves, I mean, we were kind of running blind, figuring out what to do. Probably a month after we received the gloves, I was just talking to a work colleague. I don't work in the golf industry at all. I'm in product management for websites. And he was like, oh, I used to work in the golf industry. Connected us with someone who is high up management for a golf course management firm. Got on a 30-minute call with this guy. It's basically like, there's no way. And it's like the big brands in this industry are so strong. It's going to be so tough. But we were just saying, we're just going to figure this out and keep going from there. And we found the strategies that worked for us. And yeah, just had no background in it, but learning as we go.
Without trying to give away whatever secret sauce you think you have, where did you turn? I mean, what did you decide? Okay, we're going to do direct to consumer. Did you try to find sales reps? I mean, how did you wind up kind of coming up with your mixture for distribution?
So we're still honestly figuring that part out. I mean, it's definitely a work in progress. We've only been a live company for a little bit over a year now. And I think initially, and this is part of the learning process you go through, being an entrepreneur and doing things in a space that you're not familiar with, is we've just been figuring it out on the fly, as Tyler kind of mentioned. So originally we thought direct to consumer, and Tyler will tell you this, like when we ordered our first two rounds of gloves, we ordered our poker design and our clover design. I told Tyler when I saw them, I was like, Tyler, these things are awesome. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if we sell out of these in like 48 hours, people are going to love them, like all this stuff. And so we posted on the website, we posted on Instagram. We were like waiting for the orders to roll in. And, you know, we got a few from family and friends, but nothing to the size that I had initially anticipated, because I just looked around and I said, the market doesn't have this. There's a demand for it. We'd done surveys. We had talked with people. People want this. We finally have it. Let's go. Like, where are the sales coming? And we found through trial and error, like, even if you have a really good product, it's all about marketing it and making sure people know about it. And so that's what we've been really learning the last 6 to 9 months, I'd say, is the power of Facebook advertising and social media and organic growth. And additionally, like, we know the importance of physical retail. Obviously gloves, one of the main challenges is people don't tend to buy gloves online. Like, I've never bought a golf glove online. And so how do you bridge that gap of, you know, wanting to be direct to consumer, because that's where a lot more profit can be had and where you can expand your product to more customer bases. But also acknowledging that it's important to be physically in a retail location. So we've been reaching out to golf courses in the DFW area specifically, and are actually in one. Shout out the Highlands up in Carrollton. But they were amazing. Like, I have reached out to several, and they were one of the first people to jump on board and say, yeah, we'd love to try this. Like, we love working with local entrepreneurs and helping them move the product. And they've been with us, you know, since we had our initial packaging that was, you know, in like a bag, to now we've got our much more production ready packaging. So it's been great. And that actual location has been one of our biggest drivers of sales. So I think ongoing, we're actively doing both, right? Like, the only way this business really works is if I think we have physical representation in retail, not only in DFW, but eventually nationwide. And obviously finding the secret sauce on how to drive sales through digital marketing and social media.
Is there a help in that you do have some competition, right? I mean, there is competition out there, the Red Roosters of the world. There are a couple others I see occasionally, maybe Instagram or Google ads, that maybe as a collective have gotten people more used to the idea of buying a glove outside of a pro shop or a golf shop. Do you think that helps, that collective push to, hey, you can buy this stuff just like they changed buying shoes by buying from Zappos. in the same way that you can buy golf gloves directly from somebody else instead of having to stroll into a pro shop.
Oh, definitely. I think there's a huge trend in just in golf overall for gloves or any type of apparel of these more unique brands that you're finding online. People are becoming loyal to those brands and want to stand out in terms of finding a brand that the person they're playing with hasn't heard of yet or trying to then share that. So I definitely think the past couple of years here, consumers are getting more used to, you know, finding a new golf brand online and then ordering it in advance of the round versus just showing up at the pro shop.
For you guys, were there any brands that you found particular attachment to or that you really admired or appreciated outside of the space in which you're working right now within golf that may have been an inspiration of some kind?
Yeah, I mean, I think Tyler and I, ever since we were, you know, dating back to our college years, like that was one of the things that we always talked about, like what companies are doing things really well that we emulate. And we love watching Shark Tank. So like we love seeing all the different products that people bring up with and in different ways of branding. I think for our design, and you'll notice, like if you look at a lot of our designs, we really wanted to emphasize the clean, the simple, but yet really like pop with color. And obviously, like this is a huge company, but Apple has always been something that we've thought has been an unbelievable company because they take something that is super complicated, they make it super simple, and people gravitate towards that brand solely because of the cleanliness and how good their products look. And so we wanted to make something that was high quality, looked really nice, and actually provided value to consumers. And so there's tons of companies that do similar things like that, but Bombas socks was another one. Like I think the way that they have kind of gone through their life cycle of taking something so simple as like a sock and making it a household name and doing the charitable component there as well. That was certainly a company that I know Tyler and I spent quite a bit of time talking about.
Yeah. Is there any, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Tyler.
No, I was gonna say Bombas and the Love Your Melon, where they turn like just knit hats into this huge brand. Both of those we talked about a lot before this.
When you guys are thinking about how you want, what the message you want to send to people is when you're doing your marketing, whether that's through Facebook ads, you were talking about Instagram ads, your posts on social, how did you guys come to what you wanted to represent to people as a brand? And how did you go through that exercise?
I think it kind of came a little naturally to us as we came up with the designs. And then also our photographer, Jake, he had a great creative vision for this after we sent him some of the gloves. But presenting, you know, it's not like, I'd say our gloves they're not so crazy that like you make too strong a statement on the course, but it's not just a white or black glove. So we wanted something clean again, like Randall's saying, like it pops, but you can also tell like I'm going to feel comfortable wearing this on the course, standing out, being unique, but not, you know, shouting to everyone, like maybe too strong a statement. There's some like comfortable middle ground that we're going for with our designs. And so in our marketing, trying to show that, and also just, you know, high quality, real leather is really important to us. There's adding a design to a glove. Many people first think it's going to be a synthetic leather or something fake. And, you know, we want to make sure the first reaction we get from most people is, wow, I didn't think it would feel like this good quality. And so we're trying to bring that across in our photos and our marketing as well.
And we also want people to have fun with this. Like we want people to go into a golf shop and see this and want to look at the new designs and try the glove on and see how it looks. And golf gloves, and I think just apparel in general, like it's easy to make that process really boring, and we want to make it very fun. And so that's what we think both our products and the way that we market, kind of brand it, hopefully do.
How do you guys think about the next design that you're doing? Do you kind of take suggestions from customers? Do you guys have a punch list that you're thinking of doing and just kind of going in order? How does that all kind of come together?
So I have a note on my phone actually that just has a laundry list of ideas for different potential glove designs. I think initially, obviously rolling this out, we wanted to first prioritize having a wide spectrum of colors. I think something that we haven't done a good job of so far is making a lot of our designs more gender neutral. I think naturally we gravitated towards the male target market initially, just because it's a little bit larger in the golf space. We're obviously familiar with it. That's something that knowingly, like, we would like to do a better job of. We have women's sizes, and there are some designs that women really like. But I think we can add some additional designs to kind of capture that market as well as others. So we first started with color. We second wanted to have, I don't know, like, we wanted to just have designs that people looked at and they thought they were almost like really weird to have on a glove, but also like, I kind of really like it. you wouldn't normally put like, you know, a money bag or a flame on a glove. But when you really think about it, it's like, well, a lot of people gamble when they play golf. When you're hitting every shot really well, it's like, oh, you got the hot hand. And those are generally how we style some of the names of our gloves too. So we've got the Texas Hold'em, and that's the poker design. So instead of Texas Hold'em, we played off that a little bit. The Feeling Lucky is our clover one. So it's, you know, like, you're stepping up to a par three, is today your lucky day? Like, who knows? The hot hand, as I mentioned, you can't miss a shot. It's a good glove. So it's just fun plays on words with some things that can happen in the golf space. And like I said, prioritizing color and trying to make things that stand out and are really unique.
Do you guys have goals beyond golf gloves? Do you have ideas for accessories that could be an expansion for Chip Golf?
Yeah, definitely. I think right now we're trying to perfect the golf glove product and keep growing that out as we grow the brand. But we want to see where we can, you know, expand the entire company to in the future.
You guys have day jobs, right? I mean, you guys are normal people working normal 40, 50, 60. Tell me if I need to go hire a week jobs, hour a week jobs. So you're trying to build a business at the same time. What is the balancing act like, and how often do you guys check in with each other about this and have kind of maybe those bigger, longer, broader conversations about the future?
Yeah, so we have a weekly standing meeting that we've set aside. We've been doing it for a little bit over a year that is intended to be an hour. It ends up usually being 2 hours where we just dedicated that time on Monday evenings where we catch up on life. We catch up on this business, where we want to take it, kind of serves as our check-in point. Did we accomplish what we wanted to do that last week? Where are we trending towards? It's definitely a balancing act, something that we've gotten better at over time. I think during COVID and even just like the weeks, months, years after COVID, it wasn't as bad because, you know, you're working from home, you're doing all this, but as life starts to get back to normal, it's easy for the time to focus on this to kind of shrink. But Tyler and I have both like kind of discussed it. We like what we do right now with our day jobs, but there really is no greater freedom financially or spiritually than working for yourself. And so that's always been kind of a dream of ours, where if we can build something where we can quit our day jobs and financially support ourselves and our families by doing something, I think we would both intend to do that. And so that's the ultimate goal for this, is like make it big enough where we almost can't have another job. That would be the dream. But until then, you know, we got to do what pays the bills until we can get this thing up and running.
I mean, Randall, it doesn't sound like you got the worst job in the world, my man. If you're working for the Texas Rangers, that's not so bad.
No. So that was actually a former job of mine. I recently left the Rangers. Yeah, no, it's okay. I had been there for about 4 years. I was working in the baseball analytics department. And I had traveled with the team for the last couple of years, and the work-life balance got so out of hand that I ended up choosing something different. So I actually now work remote. I work for DraftKings. So I'm still in kind of the sports realm. I do data analytics for them. And so it allows me, honestly, like, one of the big attractions to that was when I was working for the Rangers, I was at the ballpark from, you know, 11 a.m. until 11 p.m. most days. And then I would travel with the team. So any time that I had outside of that, it was dedicated towards family. It was dedicated towards, you know, working out, like things that I needed to do. And so with this new job, having the flexibility and me wanting to make kind of this entrepreneurial lifestyle something that I want to prioritize, it gives me the flexibility to, you know, ship orders over lunch and spend time visiting golf shops and do all the things that I wasn't able to do before that I really am excited about doing. So it definitely gives me a little bit more balance in that realm, which I'm excited for. But yeah, there are definite times, especially with the other day being opening day, that I miss the baseball lifestyle. But long term, it'll certainly be good.
Not that I'm trying to dox you to your employers necessarily, but do they know that you guys have your own side business and How do they support that? How are they aware of that? Or are they just kind of agnostic about it?
Yeah. I don't know actually too much about Randall's new situation, but at least for mine, my employer knows about it. Pretty clear that I enjoy my day job and I'm not, putting time to chip that's taking away from that. It's all in our off hours. So if anything more, the day job is a chip is sacrificing because of our day jobs versus the other way around. But trying to, being transparent about it, I'm personally lucky. I have a manager that's supportive of it. I'm in product management. So career wise, it's also, great skills in both directions for my day job and chip of learning how to launch products. And that's just what I do day to day anyways. For me, it's been, they've been supportive. I don't bring it up that often. So I don't know. I'm not going to probably tell them to come listen to this or supermarket it around. It all works out well in the end. My side of things.
For the record, we are recording this not during work hours. So no one is in trouble. Right. No one is not supposed to be doing something else while we're doing this. This is on a weekend. We are all on our own time here.
Yeah. Real quick. Yeah, for me too. It's funny, whenever I started a new job, they always, you do the meet and greets and people always ask, what do you do outside of work? What are your passions? And my answer has always been, I like spending time with my family, my friends, I like playing golf, but this has quickly emerged as one of my favorite passions, right? It's really fun to kind of, when I'm doing data analytics during the day, Tyler's doing, financial analysis and product launching and all that stuff during the day. It's fun when we get to sit back and just design golf gloves and products and interact with customers and build a website and all that stuff. That is quickly becoming one of the passions and joys that I have. So it's definitely something I talk about. And I've always said, when you meet someone who's passionate about what they do, it's pretty obvious because they almost can't not talk about it. So that's kind of where I feel like I'm at. I'm so passionate about the product, the company, how we've created it from nothing. And just that life cycle of being an entrepreneur that, I talk about it probably to too many people.
I can fully understand that. I completely appreciate that. All right, we'll get you guys out of here on this, which is tell me each your favorite product that you make and then give the pitch to the folks listening to go ahead and check out Chip Golf for themselves.
Want me to go first?
Yeah, go on, Tyler.
All right, I'm going to take the Feeling Lucky glove. It has brought me better luck, not stupid to add, but actually I play best in that glove versus our other designs. So I keep it going. I got one lucky one right now that I'm probably on round 6 to 8 using the same one, cause it's been working well for me. So maybe I'm a little superstitious. The Feeling Lucky glove.
Yeah. And my favorite designs probably are Stars and Stripes glove. It's got a beautiful star pattern on the thumb, navy blue background, looks just like an American flag, red stripes, red palm pad. And 10% of those proceeds will benefit the Wounded Warrior Project, which is actually somebody that I've been working with too. And then they're all on board with it. They love the idea. And so it kind of brings it all together. We love all of our products. Those are probably just the few favorites and hopefully continue to add to them as we go.
And then let everyone know where they can go find Chip Golf for themselves.
Yeah, so you can head on over to our website at chip, that's chippgolfco.com, or you can check us out on Instagram at chipgolfco.com or chipgolfco as well.
Tyler, Randall, thanks for spending some time with me on the weekend. I appreciate it. Congrats on what you've built and I can't wait to see what you guys do next.
Awesome. Thanks for having us, Ryan.
Appreciate it, Ryan. Thank you very much.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.